Good evening.
No, good evening.
You have some questions tonight?
No, but I check in anyway. Sometimes someone asks a question and it, you know, causes you to think of a question.
I understand.
I could ask you a question about doing the verses. In the verse I'm working on, there are three final mems, but there's not a mem that you use in the initial or medial position in a word. Can you use the final mem for that? Or you just have to use a final mem for a final mem? In other words, I see a word that has a mem in initial position or medial position, but I don't have a mem in that verse, either first or last letters, but I have three final mems.
Okay. The final letters are the same as the regular letters. So if you're writing a word, if you're taking the first letters of the words in a verse and you're putting them into another word, then if in that verse, excuse me, in that word, it has a mem at the end and you're using them. Excuse me. It has a mem at the beginning of the word and you're using a full mem from the verse. That's okay because they are the same letter. The real spiritual meaning of the final letters is to represent the end of times, to represent the Mashiach consciousness.
Right.
So if you have final mems in a verse, you can use it as a regular mem in the words that you are creating. And vice versa, if you have a mem in the verse as the first letter of a word and you're using the first letters, and you make a word that needs a final mem, so you can the regular mem and the final mem are the same letters. And this is true of all of the final letters.
The only thing is the final letters have a different gematria value. I know most of the time we use the, like for mem, we'll use 40, whether it's a final mem or not, but the final letters do have a different gematria.
Yes, they have those, but again, it's the same issue. The mm-hmm. different gematria is representing the consciousness.
When I get that, I'm really ready to type it up. I just don't see that I'm going to have time to do that for maybe another week. But when I get to that point, well, then I'll call you. I'll send you the what I have, and then we can discuss it by phone, because I'm sure it's not going to be a final phase.
Understand.
Okay.
I believe some other people have come on, so does anybody who came on, do you have any other questions?
No.
I'm on, but I don't have any questions.
Well, I just thought of a question.
Good.
In today's study, I was late in coming in, but whenever we were discussing the rivers that came from Eden,
right.
My thought was, could that all, you know, there were, I think, four. Could they
yes.
not also be a symbol or a metaphor, or I'm not sure which word to use, for Noah and his three sons, which would have been four.
Yes.
Okay.
They can also be, because in truth, Noah and his three sons represent, within the frame of Malchut, they represent different Sephirot. Noah represents Yesod of Malchut.
Right.
Okay. The three sons represent Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet.
Okay.
Now the question is Shem Tiferet or is Shem Chesed? And I'm going to leave that question unanswered to let you contemplate it.
Well, I think I have. I think I would say Chesed, because the priesthood went from Shem to Abraham.
Right. What came out of Shem is Yehuda. What came out of Shem is the children of Israel. And what is their role in the world of the 72 nations? What is our role in the world of the 72 nations?
Spread the light.
Yes, but what does the light mean? We're talking Sephirot. What is the role of the children of Israel in the frame of the 72 nations? What is the purpose? They represent the balance point. They represent Tiferet.
Thank you.
So you have to be defining all of your frames of reference all the time, because Chana is correct that Shem is Chesed because he's the high priest of the world. But then how does the children of Israel, the balance point, come out of Chesed? Or is the children of Israel Chesed, the children of Israel Tiferet of Chesed? What's your frame of reference that you're discussing?
Mm-hmm. I would have thought it would have been Yesod because of having to do with creativity and foundation and spreading out light to the rest of the world.
And that's what I said. Noah is Yesod.
Mm-hmm.
Is Yesod of Malchut. But where do the three sons come in? Are they Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet of Yesod of Malchut? Or are they Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet of Malchut? And I'll answer the question by saying sometimes they're one and sometimes they're the other.
Oh. Now I have a question. You touched that point, and then I had a question. I thought about this question a while ago, but then I forgot.
What's the question?
Okay, it's related to Shem. In one of the classes, it was mentioned that he represented the kingdom, the priest of Melchizedek.
Right. One of his other names in the Torah is Melchizedek, who is the high priest of the world. Melchizedek translates as the king of righteousness.
Oh. But it doesn't. He's not really mentioned that many times in the scriptures in Torah.
Twice, at least. I don't know how many exact times. I'd have to look it up in the concordance. But he's mentioned Malki Tzedek in the time of Abraham, and he's mentioned in the time of Isaac.
Well, I read somewhere in one commentary somewhere along the way of my long path that when Shem and Abraham met, it was sort of tense because Shem's sons were not righteous, and Abraham had killed his sons. And so for them to meet, it was sort of a strange, I probably read it in the Midrash says, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah, because I'd never heard that Abraham killed his son, unless they were fighting in the War of the Four Kings and the Five Kings.
That's what it was. It was with the War of the Kings. And those were Shem's descendants, and I think possibly sons.
Well, they very well could have been his sons. They were definitely his descendants.
Mm-hmm.
How did Abraham come out of Ur Kasdim unless Shem originally was living there, or his children were originally living there? But as priest of the world, that needs to be in the center point of the world, which is Jerusalem.
So that's why Aaron would be then the high priest? Like,
no.
It's like a continuation?
Aaron was appointed the high priest when Moses failed to rise to the occasion. Moses was supposed to be the high priest of the world. Abraham received the high priesthood of the world from Melchizedek. When they met, as that Chana was referring to, when Melchizedek and Abraham met in the Torah at the timing of the War of the Kings, the Four Kings and the Five Kings. Abraham becomes high priest of the world. He gives that to Isaac. Isaac gives it to Jacob. Jacob gives it to to Levi, and the head of the tribe of Levi at the time that Moses was born was his father. I forget his name right now.
Amran, I think.
Amran, yes, you're correct. So Amran received the high priesthood from Jacob as the head of the tribe of Levi. Then Amran gave it to Moses, who acted as the high priest for the 7 days prior to Aaron taking over. But Hashem chose Aaron at the time that the Korach revolution was taking place, because they tested with the staves and the almond bush growing out of the staff and all of that. So that's the, you know, we know what the high priesthood pattern was. Adam was the high priest, and then he gave it to Hanoch ben Yared, who gave it to Noah, and Noah gave it to Shem, and then I've already related the rest of it. And then the Torah says that Aaron will be the high priest forever. Because prior to the giving of the Torah, things could change and did change because of the way people acted.
So everything was depending on how the consciousness of the people.
Correct. And that's still
true. Did Hashem know already that was going to happen that way?
Do I think that? I know that. Because Hashem is all-knowing. So he sees all of the potential decision points in the world's universe and each individual's universe. Just because Hashem knows it doesn't mean you don't have free choice. But the only free choice you have is whether to stop your reactive behavior or not.
But my question is, does Hashem knows what reaction, even though I have the freedom to choose what reaction is that me or the rest of the people is going to do or it's going to take?
Yes. He knows all of these because he's created the movies for all of the different potentials.
So if he knows what I'm going to choose, why do I have the choice to do that?
Why do you have the choice, or why do you have to do it? I don't understand. That your question isn't clear.
Wait. If Hashem knows what my answer or the people's answer is going to be, why is the reason that we have a choice to react or not react?
Because you need to earn the pleasure that he has created for you, because that's how you remove bread of shame. If you just get spoon-fed the pleasures of the world without earning it, you're back in the endless world with bread of shame. So you have to make a decision to stop your reaction or not. And that remove bread of shame, that earns the pleasures of the world.
So their answer is to take the option of not reaction.
That's what's recommended in Kabbalah, to always choose the path of not reacting.
Well, but
go listen and read to basic class number 6. How do you know what to do? Bring your decision process into A or B. Which should you do? A or B? At that moment, when you ask that question, which should you do, A or B? That's the question. You make a decision. Which is more difficult for you to do at this moment? Is A more difficult or is B more difficult?
Choose the most difficult one.
Correct. Why?
Well, maybe
because the more difficult one is goes against your reactive nature. The reactive nature is to take the easy path.
There you go.
So by choosing the difficult path, you demonstrate that you're not going down the path of reactive behavior. And in reality, the difficult path will always be the easier path, because that's the system that is set up in the spiritual laws. But it's hard to make people understand that because they're using their illusionary five senses and not the reality senses of their intuition.
It's like when you say, oh, I knew I shouldn't have done that, but I did it anyway.
Well, if you knew that you shouldn't have done that, and then you chose to do it anyway, what are you really saying? You're saying you're saying that a spirit of folly has entered into you, and you are not the one making that decision. The spirit of folly is the term that is used in the religious world and in the Kabbalah. What is a spirit of folly? No one sins unless a spirit of folly comes into them and takes over their free choice.
How do you call that spirit off?
Spirit of folly, F-O-L-L-Y.
Oh, never heard of that before.
That's why they pay me the big bucks.
Yeah, I tell them all the time, half of my salary, just cut my salary in half. My salary is zero.
Oh, my gosh. So I have to do basic class number 6.
Yes. It's always good to review basic class 5, 6, and 7. And 7 we'll be reviewing once after Tisha B'Av. We'll start over reviewing it again.
5, 6, and 7.
7 is 5 and 6 are binding by striking.
You told once that binding by striking is not easy, that it will take a lifetime to learn it or to perfect it, to make it perfect. So now I understand why.
Hopefully you can do it in one lifetime.
Well, takes practice.
Are there any other questions? You all have a beautiful evening.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom to all.
Shalom.
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 Shalom.